Welcome to You Don't Say, a new panel game involving you, the listeners, and our two panelists, Marjorie Proops and Jimmy Thompson. Here to introduce the one to the other is your chairman, Cyril Fletcher.
Thank you, you dear things. Now, we have in the studio a number of contestants who very kindly come along to play You Don't Say. Each contestant will be questioned on his own particular subject for 3 minutes by our two panelists, Marjorie Proops and Jimmy Thompson. Now, during this 3-minute interview, Marjorie and Jimmy will try to make each contestant say 2 given words. I know the words, so does the panel, so does our audience, and so will you listening at home, because John Curl is hidden away in the cupboard under the stairs, waiting to tell you. Now, the only person who doesn't know the words is our contestant, and it is up to Marjorie and Jimmy to persuade each guest to say these 2 words during the course of the interview. When the panel succeed in getting the word that they're after, you will hear this sound. And when the 3 minutes are up, you will hear this. So there we are, all ready to meet our first contestant, who is a Toastmaster from Barnes, and his name is Mr. Victor Griffin. Now, here are the 2 words that Jimmy and Marjorie have got to make Mr. Griffin say.
I thought he must be a highwayman. The 2 words are stand and deliver. Stand and deliver.
Right. Are we ready, panel? You can start, James.
Oh, me? Yes. Mr. Griffin, a Toastmaster. And how do you personally operate?
Well, now, somebody gives me a telephone call and I say, I can do the party or I cannot do the party. And if I'm available, then I can go along to the hotel and do all the announcing that's necessary.
What do you say, would you say are the most important qualities for a Toastmaster?
I would say mostly bluff and blarney.
It's a bit like this game, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know,
I think they need a bit of pomposity as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Perhaps
yeah.
Just a little.
Do you ever get mixed up in that long list that you do?
Very often, yes. Pray for the silence of.
Pray for the silence of.
Don't you get hungry watching all those people eat
yes,
while you're...
Yes, the point is this. A lot of people don't know that we do eat. Toastmasters eat at the same time as the guests at the banquet. And we have our own little table set away in a little corner and we eat and drink the food and wine.
What men just sort of creep in, do you, discreetly?
That's why we sometimes hear them talking with their mouth full, isn't it?
This is very true. I think Cyril will have to join our association and we'll make you a marvellous Toastmaster.
So you've had your bit of grub and then you sort of creep in, do you?
No, I don't have my grub. I have it with them. In other words, I will perhaps announce the president and his lady into the banqueting room and then I will perhaps sit down and have a little bit of food.
Yes.
And then I'll perhaps get up and make a little announcement.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back again and eat a little bit more food.
But in those television programs, when we see Mr. Wilson there, there's always somebody around in the background. Isn't that you?
That's me, but I'm a very quick eater.
Isn't it terribly tiring, this job of yours?
It's not really. You're on your feet quite a bit, but I do sit down while I'm eating my meal.
Oh, yeah. We thought you probably did. Now, yeah. What about these speeches? Is there any great trick to them?
You mean for the speaker or for me?
Well, for either.
For you.
Well, I bore the person who says, well, I don't like to use a microphone.
20 seconds.
That wasn't the word.
20 seconds, no.
I don't like the person who says, I will not use a microphone when it's essential they do.
Are they allowed to do it sitting down?
Do what sitting down?
Speak.
Not normally, no.
how do you make your voice carry over all the hubbub of clinking glasses
My
and the
voice
slurps?
has developed over the years.
Well, Brendan. We have a victory of a Toastmaster over the team, and the words were stand and deliver, which I agree with John sounds much more like a highwayman. We now have Miss Sheila Barry, a masseuse at the sauna baths in the Haymarket, and her words are
clothes and weight. Clothes and weight.
Splendid. Would you begin, Marge?
Hello, Mrs. Barry. Hello. Mrs. Barry, do you think
Miss
people...
Miss Barry.
Oh, it's Miss Barry. I beg your pardon. Yes, that's good. Well, it ought to be Mrs. Barry, because she's a very glamorous girl. Do people have these saunas because they want to feel better or look better?
Well, both, really. We don't tell people that they will lose weight or become obese. Oh!
Thank you.
The word was weight. Now, don't gloat over it, Teen. you've only scored the one. Proceed, Jimmy.
Now, Miss Barry, now we've got weight out of the way. What happens if I come along to you and I say, oh, Miss Barry, I want to... What is it? Sauna?
Sauna, yes. The correct pronunciation is sauna.
Sauna. What do I do? What's the procedure?
Well, we lead you into the shower room and you take a nice warm shower.
You do?
He's showering up already.
On your
fully
own.
Fully dressed. See? No. Fully dressed.
No, this is taken... Well, undressed. Yeah. But you do have towels. And when you've finished your shower, you go into the... it's a log sauna made entirely of pine. Yeah. And the heat is raised to 100 degrees centigrade, which is boiling point.
Oh.
Do they have mixed ones for ladies and gentlemen?
I'm afraid not.
No, I'm not going. I was just looking forward to...
I was just going to be led into the shower.
at boiling point, would you hear it? Would you?
Marjorie on the boil.
The reason you don't, in fact, boil is we have less than, I think it's 2% humidity in there. It's completely dry.
I'd love to hear his blood on the bubble.
Well, no, you wouldn't.
Completely dry, but I mean, I perspire, I presume.
You'd perspire, yes, very much so.
And ladies glow.
What about all that being birched bit? Does that go on?
Not in this country, I'm afraid.
Oh, you're so
this
kinky.
Isn't the province
this
no,
no,
I wasn't
pay
going.
No
I was
attention
going
to
be
just a moment, Mr. Thompson. You are supposed to be addressing the contestant.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And not Miss Proof.
I'm so sorry. Beg your pardon. Now then, so here we are in the shower, and then I've gone in and had my sauna.
Yes, you stay in there for about 10 minutes only, because at boiling point you can't really take it for very long. You
understand. No, I can believe that.
He's quite frail.
So then out I come, and
you
I have a rest,
do I?
You
leap into a cold pool. You leap into a cold pool.
I'm not coming.
What, still with his towel on?
Oh, no. He moves his towel.
What
leaps into the pool.
What?
It's very, very cold.
In the nude?
Absolutely.
Excuse me.
You've gone, have you, by now?
I've gone.
Yeah. And then I have a nice rest.
No, you come through into the massage room.
Yes.
When you've taken the sauna as much as you like.
And then I get slapped about a bit.
Something like that.
Yeah, and then I have a rest.
20 seconds.
Yes.
No, I have a rest.
Yes. You have a little rest. Yes.
And then
you have
what?
A room. Mm-hmm. And you lie down. And if you want to, you can start all over again.
Well, we know he's a fool for punishment.
But what if I want to go home? I mean, all I've got is a towel.
Will you put your clothes back on?
That was very good. A cliffhanger. The team scored both words, clothes and weight. And clothes were scored just a few seconds before the bell. So we now have Mrs. Gloria Murphy, who is actually, she's Marjorie Proops's secretary. And the words are...
Problems and copper. Problems and copper.
Well, that's very understandable. I think we'll start off with you, Marge.
Hello, Gloria. Oh, it's lovely to have you my victim after the life you lead me. Gloria, now I'll ask you some awkward questions that I daren't ask you in the office. Would you rather work for a lady or a gent?
Oh.
Well, I'm going to sound a bit sycophantic, but I think... If I was working for a lady, I would have chosen you anyway.
Oh, Gloria.
She wants a rise.
There's a rise for you tomorrow.
Well, at least I know my job's secure now.
She knows which side her bread's buttered.
I've established that.
Are there any specific difficulties that you encounter working with Mrs. Brooks?
Knowing how to make tea, I think. there is an art.
In making tea?
Yes.
Oh, is this an important...
For Mrs. Proops, yes. Oh, it's very important.
Why?
Well, it could be too weak, it could be too strong. I have to remember when Mrs. Proops is on a diet, when she's not on a diet.
What does she say? I must have a cup of tea, I think.
No sugar glow. I'm on a strict diet.
She doesn't look. She's a sylph. She's a sylph. Mark,
oh, I am ever so sylph.
So, does this go on all day then, the tea drinking?
Well, Fleet Street, from my experience, seems to run on tea and coffee.
Why? Why do you suppose that is?
Well, before the programme, I can disclaim that. I've never seen Miss Proops have a cup of tea before the programme.
Ah, she's only having a little bit of ebullience there. What about when people write in with queries, which they do to you, don't they?
I knew that this was going to come up.
But they do that, don't they?
Oh, yes, of course.
How do you react in this situation?
To people's problems. Well...
Very good, Jan.
Gloria, if there was another job you could do that isn't involved with all this catering, what would you do?
I would like to work for an MP, I think.
Would you?
Yes.
Do you mean I've got to stand for Parliament to keep you?
Well, I do know that you was once out.
Do you think that I'd have the same thirst problems?
Possibly.
Yes, but you couldn't be. If you were in the House
it could
of
be,
Commons.
Could be drinking out of glasses instead of cups, maybe.
Sorry, that was the wrong sound, wasn't it? She said cups instead of cuppers. I'm afraid we can't have that. She was being rather posh because she was on the radio. Anyway, the team scored problems, but they didn't quite manage cuppa. And now it's time for something slightly different. I'm going to recite a piece of poetry which tells the story of one Nellie Garth, and there will be three connected words in this masterpiece which James and Marjorie must spot whilst listening fascinated and ears akimbo. The three words are...
Again, three synonyms for the same. Girl, lass, and damsel. Girl, lass, damsel.
So pin back your luggles. Odd ode number one coming up. A glamour girl named Nellie Garth would lay and soak whilst in her bath, and just to smell like damsel's water, use scented bath salts in the water. But one day, lacking resolution, flopped in her tub for her ablution, and being only half awake, put jelly crystals by mistake. Then dozing till her tub got cold, she found she'd set as in a mold. Her frantic cries brought in her mum, who said, "Oh, say, you're stuck, boy gum. You can't stay gaping like a fish. I'll turn you out on a fancy dish." So fetched a plumber down from town to turn the bathtub upside down, who in the bathroom strolled in state to make his lowest estimate. But proving man of great resource, with humour perhaps a trifle coarse, he brought some kids round very soon, each proudly bearing fork and spoon, who quite delighted set about the task of digging Nelly out. Though once she blanched as white as chalk when a boy was careless with his fork. And now each morn she cries, "I'll say there's no more picnics up of me." Then the nude stands awfully glum and dry cleans with a vacuum. Thank you kindly. Have you any idea about these words,
difficult,
then?
Difficult, isn't it? Mold is a sort of typical Cyril word, isn't it?
So is nude.
Nude, yes. Look, oh, look, here's one. Look, dish and girl. Look, dish and girl.
I go for man.
Yeah, all right.
Girl. I like going for men.
Yeah, I know. Girl, dish and man. We can't believe it.
No, I'm sorry. The words were girl, lass, and damsel. Now, have a very glamorous lady indeed, Miss Anne Sidney, who is an actress, and she was Miss World in 1964. And her two words are...
Measurements and darling. Measurements and darling.
Splendid. Right, proceed. Team, we'll start off with you, James, I think.
Now, Miss Sidney, may I call you Anne?
Yes, please do.
Why do you always call her Fred?
Oh, well, you see, we called her Sid for a time, didn't we? Do you remember?
Yes, actually, it's very funny because, you know, usually they get some sort of fella's name for me. I don't know why. I mean, you know, I don't think I look like a fella, do I?
I prefer Sebastian.
Sebastian.
So do I, but I think she's a dish nevertheless. Fred.
Fred, yes.
or Anne, my darling.
You'll never get to the words just talking about the name.
Now, Annie, what have you been doing recently?
I've been doing a play with Dave King and Mac Hobley, who was here last week.
Oh, yes, Mac.
Called Doctor in the House.
Have you done any West End plays?
Yes, I was in a play called Not Now, Darling.
Thank you.
Darling was one of the words.
I was going to work
That's
around.
Not fair.
I'm inclined to agree with you. Carry on, Miss Brooks.
Anne, what about this Miss World bit?
Yes.
Now, is it very nerve-wracking? I mean, is there an awful lot of bitchiness among all the jealous ones who don't win?
No, I think that's a myth, actually, you know. I think if you're...
Oh, it's myth world, is it?
No, it's ridiculous. You know, if you're very bitchy, then you find the girls are, but if you're not, you know, they're pretty nice, actually.
You judge yourself, don't you, now?
Occasionally.
What are the things that most count in this kind of contest? Is it
you personality?
Yeah, not from you, I don't want to know. I know what would count with you. Is it personality? Is it appearance? What is it?
Well, I don't know. My best attribute is that I've got a sexy big toe.
What?
He's got a sexy
big
toe.
Yes. Well, sexy? I've been asked to judge some of these things sometimes, and I always choose the one with the cleanest neck.
Well, you can't see mine, you see.
Yes, oh, nice and round, though, isn't it? Yeah. What about, do they ever have fellas beauty contests?
You mean Mr. Universe?
Oh, all those muscles. I think they're revolting.
I think they look awful.
Yes, they're
Well, you
horrible.
Could have a skinny fellas contest.
Yes, no, that's...
You'd win, Jimmy. You'd win.
21, 21, 21, you know, something like that. And that's only his head. Now, when you are judging, though, Anne, I mean, do you go by personality most, or do you go by figure?
I think personality, actually. You have the vital statistics listed on your...
Oh, you get those listed, do you?
Yes, you do. So you don't have a tape measure.
It's very
going
difficult,
to say,
isn't it?
Can I check that?
Well, the team scored Darling, but they didn't score measurements because the word in that sort of trade is statistics. We have Mr. Robert Philpott from Haywards Heath, Surrey, who is a space buyer and media manager in an advertising agency. His words are...
Very tricky. Sex and sound. Sex and sound.
Are you ready, Proopy?
Oh, no. What is he now? Mr. Philpott.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Philpott.
It's Robert.
Robert. A space buyer, yes?
That's right.
How the devil can you buy space? I mean, you
well,
know,
you could
you
have bought quite a lot off Miss Sydney, I expect.
Yeah, I know. You're just dirty. Would you say it's more difficult to write a hard advertising copy than it is in, say, 50 words, than it is to write a 1,000-word article, like I have to toil over?
I would say it's very much more difficult to condense all one has to say into 50 words.
What sells best when you've sold this space?
What sells best? Yeah. Well, we, in fact, at our agency, specialise in property accounts.
Do you?
Yes.
How dull. I mean, that must be very dreary. Yes. What do you do? Little pictures of houses?
We have a studio who design and draw perspective drawings of properties.
No girls in bikinis?
No, she wouldn't fit in a bikini at the moment.
Nope.
Oh, no. She's obviously in the family way. Now, your hobby is what is it, this business about stereophonics or something, is it?
I have a discotheque, which I do my thing on.
Oh, you do your thing on a discotheque?
I do, yes.
My goodness, what a strange place to do it.
I have a problem
with
it. Is
it painful?
Frequently.
And do you experiment there?
I experiment, yes, I design things. I'm at the moment designing a pulse light unit which works on things called thyristors, which are little electrical switches.
I'd rather you didn't say those rude words.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, say them, they're lovely,
what
they're lovely.
What does it all add up to?
It all adds up to that one has the lights flashing on and off with the music.
Oh.
And is it volume you're going for?
I'm going for the different frequencies of the sound, the low...
The word sound.
One more.
They've scored sound. I dare you to score the next one.
Can we go back to this advertising thing, which I'm very interested in? What I want to ask you about is your view as a professional of all these nudie ads. You know, do you think that a nude wearing absolutely nothing...
Oh, don't, Marge, don't.
What else does a nude wear?
Diamonds.
Scent. Now, Do you think that a picture of a nude can sell tights to a girl?
A girl would like to see what she would look like in the tights. If you have a very glamorous girl wearing the tights, she will think to herself that I'm going to look like that, therefore I'll buy that make of tights.
Well, what do you think it makes her look like and feel like?
It makes her feel glamorous.
Really?
Would you perhaps say cheeky?
No.
Do you think these sort of ads really are, don't you think they're more appealing to men than they are to women?
They appeal to men, certainly, but I don't think men are going to go out and buy tights, are they?
Well, that was splendid, Mr. Philpott. You won one word, they won the other. The word that the team won was sound, and most astonishingly, they did not win sex. Now for our second variation. This week, Jim is going to take over as chairman.
Oh.
I'm going to question Marjorie on the subject of women's rights, and there are three words that I've got to persuade her to say. And whilst we're all changing places, John Curl will tell you what the words are.
Vote, husband, and money. Vote, husband, and money.
Right. Here we go. Cyril, you've got exactly 3 minutes to stop Marjorie going too far on women's rights.
How long have you worn them, Marjorie?
Oh, really, since a child, actually.
What, women's tights?
Yes, I was precocious.
Oh, how splendid. Do you believe that the woman is the master?
Oh, of course I do. I mean, I know that the men don't agree with me, and my old man is absolutely adamant about this.
Who is?
My old man.
Oh.
It's Lonnie Donegan, obviously.
No, that was his father. Tell me, do you believe in a woman being militant, do you? Have you met her, Militant?
Millie, yes, she's a great friend of mine, old Millie. No, I don't really, I think...
What has a woman got to have, then? What has she got to exercise?
She's got to exercise her waistline and...
No, I'm talking about her women's rights, that part that she's got to exercise.
Oh, well, she's got to exercise her...
Has she got to go to the polls, for
instance? Oh, yes, she must vote. She must vote.
Oh, well, that's one ticked off, then. Now, about your old man...
Oh, yes.
Who earns all the dough?
Oh, he does, really. I mean, mine is just pin money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're coming thick and fast.
What's a man's wife called if it's a man?
Say that
That's
again.
Practically
do, you mind, do you mind rephrasing the question?
What's a man's wife called if it's a man, is what I said.
What's a man's wife called when he's a man?
Yeah.
A spouse.
Very good.
Yes, this is really difficult, isn't it? I can see that I'm not going to get very far
What
here.
If he's a southerner?
Now, I tell you what, what's another word for an orchestra?
Another word for an orchestra? A band?
I'll score half.
Well, there you are. Cyril got vote and Cyril got money, but he only got the better half of the better half.
We now have Miss Pat Shaw as a contestant, and she is a cosmetic buyer. And the words are...
Eyelash and toilet. Eyelash and toilet.
Right. Marjorie, I think.
Miss Shaw, I can see that you... Oh, no, this sounds very offensive, what I was about to say. I was going to say I can see you use your products, but I'll take all that back because I didn't really mean it. I'm sure you're naturally beautiful. Do you try out the samples and come out in spots?
Sometimes I do, yes.
You
do? And come out in spots?
Well, if the product doesn't suit my skin, I do.
Oh, really?
But then I tell the reps about this.
Yes. Do you find that women like to be very sort of... Are they a bit shy about their makeup? Do they like
some
to...
Some are, yes. Some are very shy about it.
They like to be discreet, do they?
Well, they come in, they sort of get me on the side, and they say, look, I'm going to dance on Saturday. What do you think will go with this sort of dress? And they try out different colours and things.
What would you say as the cosmetic with the biggest sex appeal?
Well, I wouldn't know. I don't know people's lives, you know.
Well,
strong powder, like a Bob Martin.
Do you think the Marjorie's glasses might possibly be a little bit of a handicap for a certain kind of makeup?
Do you mind?
Not at all.
You don't feel there's nothing barred?
No, absolutely.
I mean, when they're so close to the face, you know... I mean, they might poke her eyes out, mightn't they?
Well, no, she would see that they didn't.
See what didn't? Her eyes?
Her glasses didn't, yes.
Oh, her glasses didn't. Yes. Oh, I see.
Now, I've got specially extended glasses.
Yeah. Well, do you have special makeups for glasses?
No.
You don't?
No, we don't.
So everybody wears the same?
Well, not everybody's glasses are the same.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good makeup... idea? Now, I need your personal advice.
Here
now.
Here we go.
Do you think it's a good idea for ladies, that like me, for example, I'm a lady.
Oh, you seem to make that rude word when you said you were a lady,
you're
Marjorie.
You're so offensive, really.
And you didn't get either of the words, which were eyelashes and toilet. Our next contestant is Frankie Murray from Putney, who is a pantomime dame. And the words are...
Slap.
Hello, hello, hello.
And corsets. Slap and corsets.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, now, are you ready? We'll have you, James, because you've appeared in pantomime with Mr. Murray.
Yes, a pantomime dame from Putney. Frankie, what is your favourite gear?
Favourite gear?
Yes.
Outrageous costumes, of course.
What kind of things?
Skirts, blouses, two pieces.
We've got it.
You name it, I've got it.
What about drawers? Don't you wear...
Oh! Oh, how disgusting. She's so outspoken, that one. Marjorie. May I call you Marjorie?
Oh, please
yes,
do.
That's your line, really.
Yeah, all the dames call me Marge. What about, do you wear a wig?
Well, of course I wear a wig, yes. Yeah. When I've had my ends done, though, I look all right, you know.
Which is your favourite part of the pantomime, Frankie? Which bit do you like most?
I like it all. I just adore pantomime.
But what about the kitchen scene and things like that?
Oh, I love that, yes. We were in Whittington,
that's
weren't
it,
we?
Whittington.
Yeah. I played his mother. By the look of the rings on him, he should have played my mother. It's a kinky world, all right.
We're living in a changing world, my dear.
What about all that with the custard pie and everything? That's a good bit. I mean,
custard pie.
Were you trained in any way to do that?
Trained to do custard pies?
Yes.
No, I mean, it just comes naturally, doesn't it?
Frankie, what do you do with these custard pies, then?
Throw them.
Really?
As hard as you can.
Frankie, getting back to all this gear that wear...
Yes.
What do you wear? Do you wear? You wear a skirt, you said, don't you? Do you wear
well,
stockings?
Well, I've got to wear something down there, don't I? I mean,
do you wear stockings?
Stockings?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
What do you keep them up with?
Suspender belt.
To mention but a few.
Do you never go further? Do you never go for things like waspies and things like that?
Oh, come on. I'm a pantomime dame.
Do you wear a bra?
Oh, isn't she cheeky? I mean, if I asked you.
Rolled up socks.
Yes.
And is it body stocking year, is it this year then?
Is it what?
It's let it all free, is it this year? It's...
I'm never free. I'm very reasonable, but I'm never... So old!
I'm sorry, whether he's free or reasonable, he's one.
Have I?
The words were slap and corsets.
Ah!
And we haven't said either of them. That's all we have time for this week, so our thanks to the brave challengers and Marjorie Proops and Jimmy Thompson.
You Don't Say was devised by Johnny White, Jimmy Thompson, and Nicholas Parsons, and produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.
So till next week at the same time from me, Cyril Fletcher, it's goodbye.